I do pick the perfect 15 every season.
Of
The
course you do.
players just don't perform. It's them, not me.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, where the world revolves around Premier League, Fantasy Premier League, once again, James, because
that's a terrible
they've announced
intro.
some rule changes. We're back to FPL chats, James. Probably because I'm just not hugely enthusiastic about talking about it. I am and I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I am and I'm not. I travelled yesterday back to Portugal, and all of the announcements were in the afternoon while I was running for an airport and flying back. So I didn't actually look at it till about 11 o'clock at night when I got home. And so it was a bit, I was like, oh, okay, there's all this stuff to catch up on. I was like, give me a bit of time to think about it, please. So probably just the timing of it didn't fit in with my personal needs, but who gives a shit about me, hey?
No one.
Yeah.
Your family, maybe. It's questionable.
Definitely not FPL Towers until I win it this year, and then they'll know my name.
Yeah, okay, boss. Let's see if these new rules might help you. Maybe, maybe not. Let's timestamp this. Coming up to 10:30 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday, July the 17th. We do anticipate that FPL will launch probably at some point this afternoon. If not, surely it's tomorrow. Crystal Palace this morning have released the prices for every single player in their squad, which then had a note that said ahead of the launch this afternoon, and then they amended their own article to say FPL will launch very soon. I hope we've not got a day of every club going, here's the price for everyone, because then there's literally no point waiting to open the game.
Yeah.
Just get on with it now and open it so we can all race for our IDs. It's People's Poll Podcast today. Due to the announcement yesterday, I opened up the idea of free FPL-based topics based on yesterday's announcement. One option for you to vote on was the mystery chip, Suj. A mystery chip, which we're going to find out about, maybe because no one knows what it is yet, but you won't be able to use it till like January 2025. So it's something for the next part of the season. There is a potential impact on other chip usage with that I thought might be worth discussing. You didn't vote for that. I'm not surprised. Another option was to vote for the changes to BPS scoring. There are some interesting changes. Those who have a high volume of shots on target and those who are fouled frequently may well benefit in the bonus next season. No doubt we'll cover that in more detail between now and the start of the season. But I know definitely Mark and Az will cover it off in real detail on Black Box when they cover it. I think that's probably going to be maybe tomorrow night. And I know the above average FPL guys will certainly cover it on their show as well, which I think they've got booked in for Sunday night. So those are two recommended alternative podcasts on BPS scoring. What you voted for us to discuss today is the potential to have five free transfers in FPL, because now you can roll four times rather than just once. FPL did promise that it would be something very different. And in fairness, this is. What's your reaction, boss?
Took a bit of time to get my head around thinking about whether I liked it or didn't like it, whether it was good or wasn't good. I think my overriding conclusion was that, well, clearly we don't know the impact of this, but I think it's neither good nor bad. I think it has the potential to be both. I think one of the things we think about with FPL is there's 38 game weeks, right? Game week one, you don't make a transfer. The 2 weeks that you wildcard, you don't make a transfer. And when you free hit, you don't make a transfer. So that's four of your weeks gone already. So that gets you down from 38 to 33 weeks where you've got a transfer decision. Of course, you can take hits, right? If you rolled all your transfers into lumps of five, that's seven game weeks, approx, 6 or 7 game weeks. So that makes it only 6 or 7 weeks out of an entire game season of 38 weeks, where in theory, you would have to potentially think about making transfers or making decisions. If you're trying to reduce the number of decisions you've got to make in any given season. So that's one thought. I was thinking just, Do I want to keep rolling them up? I remember when the fixtures were released, you spoke at length about how there were no swings necessarily this year. There wasn't any particular swing from one team having a good run to another. Everybody kind of had a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad throughout the entire season. I think balance is probably the word you would use to describe the entire season. Rolling up and making five or six transfers in one go, similar to basically a wild card, is when you want to switch tactics or switch direction or what have you. If there's no swings or blanks and doubles, then I'm not sure under what circumstance, bar a lot of injuries and suspensions, that I'd want to roll up to use as many as five. But remember, it doesn't have to be five, right? Even three or four sometimes can make a big difference to your team. So that was one thought where I'm just kind of thinking, if there's not a lot of fixture swings, am I even going to bother? I think that we've seen before that the engaged FPL managers will try and outthink the game and be clever in their strategy and think, I've got this super strategy where you hoard things up or you try and play the fixtures. And it rarely plays out how you think it's going to. I think it's going to create a scenario where engaged managers are going to overthink the situation and try and be too smart, too cute, and too clever. And I don't know a circumstance, a situation where that particularly has ever helped. It usually doesn't play out like you think it's going to play out. So I don't really see myself doing it that often, like not getting to five anyway, maybe two or three. And maybe if my team's like, to, for me to roll five transfers, I've got to be doing really well. My team's got to be smashing in the points week in, week out, for me not to want to use one of my transfers. Otherwise, I need to fix a problem every week or every other week. The only other thing I would add, James, in this verbal diarrhea of initial thoughts is clearly it will reduce the number of hits that people will need to take or may be inclined to take. I'm not a big hit taker myself anyway. You took a fair amount more than me last season. But that 4 points kind of hit might slow people down in their decision making. Say, do I want to take a hit this week or roll it and then just get it for free next week? Because you're only then banking on 4 points over 1 week rather than sometimes we say taking a hit, how long are you going to measure it over? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? In this situation, if you could roll a transfer and just do it the next week for free, then you've got to make that hit point up within a week, really. So I think it will reduce the number of hits, obviously, that people will take as well. So those were all of my initial thoughts in a cocktail of, I don't know if it will actually overall massively affect the game. I think some will benefit from it, but on the spot, odd sporadic occasion, as opposed to it consistently being a change in playing style for a lot of managers.
Well summarized. Just to cover one point on fixture swings, that there obviously are fixture swings. I think in the past we've had, oh my god, there's an amazing six fixtures for Chelsea and then there's amazing six fixtures for Liverpool as an example. It doesn't really work like that this year, i.e. a lot of, particularly in the first half of the season, a lot of the top clubs have their difficult run together and then come into easier runs together. So a lot of the top eight, if you will, if you include Villa and Newcastle to the greedy six, come into like good runs towards Christmas together, as an example. When they're coming out of bad runs, there isn't a little bit anomaly where Manchester United have quite a good run where the rest have difficult runs, and you can all have your own debate about whether that's worthwhile to look at or not. I think what they've done here is genius, actually, because as we always say, we are not the target market, but the target market is talking about it. We are talking about it now. Other content creators are talking about it. People, as you said, are really trying to work out what they want to do. If this is an impact, if it isn't an impact, is it good for them? Is it bad for them? What it also means is, Suj, that people can disappear for a while. They will continue to keep their engagement of what they want, which is, let's say, you know, term the casuals, the people who won't necessarily log in every week. I mean, we recorded a Sky podcast last Tuesday, Surge, which is now irrelevant because there's no game anymore, but I titled it, See You in October. Well, that could now apply to FPL. You can
I agree.
literally,
I do
when the
think
game opens, you can pick a team. You can come back in October if you want.
in theory, I think the thing is, for the casuals and predominantly people who play in like work mini leagues and stuff, because I do think mini leagues is a big driver of that market, or that sector of the players. It can take 2 or 3 weeks to lose your way, miss a couple of deadlines, and then you feel like, okay, I'm already 60 points behind, let me quit. But if you then have like four transfers to do a mini wild card, of course, you're more likely to feel like I can claw this back now because I can use my mini wild card and I've got four free transfers. From the point of view of keeping managers engaged for longer, I agree with you. It definitely will do that. Does that mean that it's going to become even more difficult? Because more players will keep playing the game for longer. Inevitably, if your rank will rise as players around you will drop away. If less players drop away throughout the season, it's going to become harder to climb up. I'm sure the stats that 75% of the top 10K, if not 80%, are new every season anyway. I only feel like it's going to go in that direction if players stay engaged for longer.
What's your reaction in terms of who it benefits? Like, take someone like me, who's kind of a fixture planner. Do you think this benefits me or not?
It's a double-edged sword, is my take on
I
it. There
agree.
are definitely situations that it can help to plan and know what's happening ahead. There are definitely situations where I've seen for you, for me, for engaged managers, where we get into decision paralysis or we hold off decisions for 2 or 3 weeks longer than we maybe would have because you've got a plan in your mind already and then you miss what's in front of you right there, right now. There are plenty of occasions where we've stick to the plan when actually moving early would have been better. And the temptation to roll up these transfers to try and do something clever could mean that you miss out on what's right in front of you right there, right now. So I really think it could be a double-edged sword either way. There are also situations where planning ahead will give you a massive leap ahead. If you can see something for a team that looks good, or if there is a blank or a double and you can plan around it better, it could be a massive advantage as well. So I really don't think we know is the honest answer, James. It could go either way.
I mean, you can probably imagine what my instinct was when I saw the news. My instinct was that, see you in October, blind him, because also we've obviously got the experience of playing Sky Fantasy, where you used to have a forced overhaul or wild card quite early in the season, and you would pick a dead team basically for 4 to 5 weeks, subject to when that forced wild card was, with no intention of touching it unless you had an injury. And my immediate reaction was, well, great. Yeah, let's pick a team for 6 weeks and let's come back to it. But the more I thought about it, what happens really early in FPL every season, Suj?
Injuries or what happens is a player that we didn't know about stands out to be the fucking best buy in the game,
That's one, yeah.
and that or injuries or suspensions or a lot of people shit the bed and wild card, and I think a lot of people will do it this year because of the big debate that you and Clayton had yesterday around Haalandless or not.
Yeah, I mean, there is still that case, I think, for Bench Boost 1 and Wild Card 2 that I think, yes, people will look at that. I think it's more there's something very different at the start of an FPL season to the end of the season. It's the desperation to grow value.
Oh, team value, yeah. I mean, I'm bad at that, so I'm not surprised that I didn't
Now,
use
if
that.
you hit a team that's amazing and you fly that's dead for the first 6 weeks, you will naturally, if your team is doing quite well, you will increase some value in your squad. But the chances are you won't get it all perfect.
No.
And there will definitely be, even I think for those who are thinking, yeah, I could maybe pick a team that's dead for 5 weeks or so here, it won't take long for someone to score twice and be like, oh shit, this guy's going to go up 0.2, 0.3 this week. I need to do something about that. The value plays a huge impact at the start of the season. So I think there's two sides to this. I think certainly the storing of transfers is going to be very, very useful. I think particularly, and we know that blanks and doubles aren't going to be the same as previous season, but it will still exist. And it
Yep.
was going to be way more useful towards the end of the season to have the storage of more transfers, or at least probably, let's say, the spring period, rather than necessarily right at the end. But at the start of the season, I think it would make sense to try and have a team that wouldn't necessarily force transfers. But then I don't know how much you want to plan making transfers that early in the season anyway, because
Anyway, yeah.
the one message I would always have at the start of the season is nearly all of us, if not all of us, will make mistakes. No, who picks the perfect 15 players at the start of the
Oh,
season?
I do, but they just don't perform, the useless bastards.
Your opinion will change. Team's strength or incapabilities will be different to what you imagine. The transfer window will still be open for circa 3 weeks after the season
Yeah.
starts. So the idea of just picking a team that's, yep, I'm definitely leaving that dead for 5 weeks, you may well end up doing so. But I think you're going to be fortuitous if you're in that luxury position to do so. So I've seen some people already looking at things like, well, yeah, I'll try and roll in game week two, which is something I always like to do anyway. Then maybe use two transfers in game week three. So that'd be no different to normal. Then try and store them up again once the transfer window's closed. What it does mean is we're going to get more variations of what people are doing. That's clear.
For
And
sure.
that I think is only good. That was the big message on Haaland's price yesterday was, okay, you've made a decision for people now, because quite clearly at 14 million, his ownership was too high last year for people to enjoy having him, or even fear it, or fear just being too great to go against him. Now there's a decision to be made. And there's a decision for people to make under this now as well, whether they use transfers or don't. But I think the nature of FPL versus our experience of playing other games with Sky is, I don't know how many FPL managers can get to roll in five transfers. I really don't, because I think the game is
You've got to be
so
doing so
impulsive.
well. Think about it. You've got to be doing so well for you to think, okay, my team's so great that I don't need to fix something, or there's nothing that I can potentially improve. It doesn't happen. The advantage of FPL over Sky, obviously, is 15 player versus 11 player game, right? So in Sky, if you have an injury, it's your starting 11. Whereas in FPL, at least you have a bench to help you maybe cover it, to help you roll into the next week or into the next week. Sky was never like that. We needed to try and find every fixture that we possibly could get out of the 11. I do think you will see a lot more divergence in strategy, right, from people who will want to do different things. The good thing with the pricing that you mentioned in terms of Haaland is as expensive as he is, the disparity between him and others is big enough to make a decision. Because say Watkins was 12 and Haaland was 15. It's kind of like, okay, well, they're all fucking expensive. Whereas you're like, oh, that's so tempting to go cheap. So they needed to create the disparity within that decision making, which I like as well. Because I think that like Havertz is way too cheap for his price for where he is. And the disparity, I feel like with Watkins and Havertz and Isak and so on, it's like two for one versus Haaland. It's like buy one, get one free versus what Erling Haaland's at. And that's a real decision to be made there. So the disparity helps change strategies. This will help change strategies. But like you said, I don't know where I've gone 5 weeks in a row without actually needing to make any changes. On top of that, though, I suppose in terms of strategy, the other change that we should really talk about is that the five transfers can be carried over through a wild card and through a free hit. And that I think will make a kind of interesting game plan strategy because you can dead end and double wild card. I mean, in theory, yeah, you could dead end to a point, wild card the week after, and then five transfers the week after that would be a real interesting strategy. I mean, that would be a hell of a lot of fun for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw you a game week as an example here. So just get a game week 12, just a random one to pluck out. If you look at, excuse me, the top eight teams, City, Tottenham play each other, but it's at City, right? So City clear favourites, home fixture. But the rest, Arsenal got Forest at home, Liverpool go to Southampton, Chelsea go to Leicester, Newcastle at home to West Ham, Manchester United go to Ipswich, Villa at home to Crystal Palace. And around that, for those eight teams, are difficult fixtures. It might be the sort of one that we now look at a week like that and go, yeah, I'm gonna free hit there, or store transfers to use a lot of transfers in that specific week. I think that's a real game changer. Now, the ability to store the transfers for afterwards, and it saves me getting countless DMs every year as well of will I have two free transfers after I've done this or I've gamed the system or whatever. So yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know if that's to the benefit of someone like me. That's where it feels like all the planning, yeah, that's that there's not so much planning is required. And I think
Yeah.
just to clarify what that means, if you went into game week 20 with four free transfers and used your wild card in game week 20, you will then have four free transfers going into game week 21. You won't have the additional one to make it five, by the way, because
No.
you'll have used the chip. But yes, you will have. That bit I didn't like, I think. I almost wish that you used something and you were drawn back into one. But I get the idea that for the general masses, using the chip doesn't like cost you anything. Because otherwise, you'd have only been better off using the chip if you only had one free transfer, right? The
Yep,
storing them
yep.
up would have been useless to you. So this still encourages it. The platform now encourages the idea that you store up transfers. Example would be, I'll give it a good example. People, you're getting a real flip at the moment. If anybody wants to, have a look at our friend Harry Daniels, FPL Harry's tweet last night, which I'll tell you, or yesterday, was at 2:39 yesterday, where he's very silly asked people for their thoughts. Yeah, you're going to get 100 responses that you don't want to respond to. But just within that tweet, the amount of differences of opinion of whether this is good or bad gives you a real indication of what people think. But in terms of rolling transfers, one of the themes is, are people will be rewarded for patience? So I'll give you an example of that. So I started Ollie Watkins last season, right? And pretty much owned him near enough all the way through. And he had, let's say, a start where he was kind of consistent. He was getting quite a few assists, but he wasn't really scoring that much.
You did
And
sell him at one point.
yeah, near the end. And that was regretful, by the way. But I kept him for the big haul against Brighton. Would he get three goals and two assists or four goals and assist or so? And a lot of people had sold him the week or two before. So then you get a lot of people go, oh, you're rewarded for your patience. I was rewarded for my patience because you've returned. The exact same scenario might happen this coming year, and it's not to say you will return. So I think the storing of the transfers might encourage people to be a little bit more patient with key assets like that. But also to go back to your Haaland point, if you have stored up transfers, one of the discussions I had with Clayton yesterday was, well, if you don't go with him at the start and you want to get him in, you're probably wild carding. Well, if you store up a few transfers and then and you haven't used any by say game week four and you want to get him in and you've got two or three free transfers, it becomes much easier, doesn't it? Rather than having to take minus fours and minus eights to force him in, it becomes easier. So perhaps the planning of jumping around premiums might be easier to do and more cost effective, i.e. not costing you points hits. I think that's probably the big takeaway from me now would be I really don't want to be taking hits almost at any point now. And ideally, I think a sweet spot for many would be to be rolling two or three
Yeah,
constantly.
I just don't know how we use it. I'm thinking like, okay, if I roll up and say five, does that mean the next week I use five? Does that mean I use two a week for 5 weeks thereafter as I whittle through them? Or two a week, three a week, two a week, three a week, take a couple of hits within that? I don't know how it's going to change my behavior or my psychology until we actually get into the game. What I don't think will happen is that people will store up five, use five, then store up five, use five, then store up five, use five. They'll inevitably store up two or three or four, use two or three or four, store up another one or two, use two. And we just don't know how that rhythm is going to play out. And also, I think there's a your own playing style will have an impact on how you want to. You talked about people being impulsive, right? I like to be a more cautious FPL manager. When I try and force the issue is when it usually goes wrong. So I think I'm going to have to figure out how to use the transfers in my own style and how I like to play, which is a little bit more patient, perhaps. And there are some people that will want to be much more aggressive and target players before they go on a run or kind of be more aggressive, and they may want to play it differently. So I really think it's going to be a case of waiting until the game starts to see what people feel comfortable doing.
I think historically in FPL, if people were having a dilemma whether to make a transfer or roll, most commonly people would make the transfer. I think now it might encourage the reverse, where if there's an element of doubt, you go, I'll wait. And sometimes that'll pay, and sometimes that will hurt because the player you didn't buy goes off quite clearly. But I think what I've learned, particularly through my deadline streams and stuff over the years, is most people can have this clear plan of I'm not doing anything this week, and deadline hits, and it's I've got to do something. The impulsiveness takes over for many people, and some of those people are very much rewarded sometimes when they do so. You can always spin this narrative both ways. I think that the takeaway for me would be it will be really useful in March and April to have this storage of transfers. At the start of the season, I think people will still want to attack differences. And this can be done by wild cards rather than
Yeah, fix
transfers, by the way.
mistakes, all that stuff.
Exactly that. So you could still be rolling them. But I think most people at the start of the season will still want to attack because just the nature historically tells me that no one gets it absolutely spot on at the start. I certainly have never gone, oh my God, I've picked the right 15 going into game week two. Never. Never. And I might still have rolled a transfer because I'd be like, okay, I'm happy with the majority of this. It's worth
Yeah,
doing because
again,
there's a
got to
benefit.
find 15, not
But
11 out of 15.
never pick the
Yeah.
right 15.
No.
No. And all those people who do can tweet me and show me what their perfect 15s are going into game week two next year. And chances are I'll be going, but you don't have Haaland and he's about to play Ipswich. And that would be quite
Like I said,
interesting.
James, I do pick the perfect 15 every season.
Of
The
course you do.
players just don't perform. It's them, not me. It's not my choices of them as FPL assets.
Do you
It's them
think
on the pitch, mate.
you obviously get a bit of stick for missing the odd deadline, right? I mean, do you miss deadlines now or not?
I've been pretty good overall.
Do you
That
think it
odds and
allow
sods
do
here
you
and
think
there.
this allows you to go, this is a difficult week. I can literally just forget about this for 2 weeks,
Yeah,
really?
my thought is always, if in doubt, do nothing. If in doubt, do nothing is always my strategy, and it's rarely hurt me massively. So yeah, I think it does allow me to just leave it be if I fancy.
On wild cards, I think it's worth saying when you wild, I think you should still probably wild card at a point where you don't have a lot of storage or chips. Just trying to think of this for the perspective, let's say you get to game week 10 and you've got four transfers rolled and then you want a wild card. You're probably better off making four free transfers, aren't you? I still think you want a wild card at points where you're low on your transfer account, I think.
You've got a lot of more than six or seven
Unless you are
changes you want to make.
specifically, and you could do this, using a week as kind of like a partial free hit. Let's say, hypothetically, Tottenham have got terrible fixtures, but they might have Ipswich at home in the middle of that. And you go, right, well, I'm going to wild card into free Tottenham. And then from my four free transfers, I can use free to get rid of the free Tottenham when they're going to Man City away the following week or something. It's going to enable some slightly different techniques like that that we wouldn't have looked at before, I think. That's a different way of looking at it. But I think most people would still want to use their wild card when they're on a low transfer account rather than a high. And I think the key advantages of this, the storing of the transfers, will be seen later in the season.
I agree, James. I kind of summarize my thoughts. I think, will it make the game more enjoyable? Yes. Will it improve people's performance necessarily of getting the right decisions and getting more points? Probably will balance out to be about the same, because everywhere that will benefit someone else is going to lose out. But I do think it will increase the enjoyment in the game, if not necessarily how people perform, because ultimately, still a guessing game at the end of the day, right? We're still trying to predict things and guess. And we're not bookies, so we don't get it right more than we get it wrong,
No, and
James.
I know people want like oh, what's best? Should I store free transfers at the start and things like this? Every year you get a template forms, right? And some years that template does really well at the start, and other times it doesn't. And what's going to happen here is you're going to get a split probably as well between those who use transfers at the start and go aggressive. They'll either do well or they won't. And it'll create a narrative of right and wrong. And this season already might be different to what happens in the next season going into 25, 26. So I think that's worth bearing in mind that there isn't a there isn't a definitive now to say, oh, you're going to be better off storing transfers. It's going to come down to how well you do in game week one, really, isn't it? What happens afterwards and how well you're set for the future game weeks. So I think more transfers around premiums would be a little bit of advice as well. Probably go for more steady eddies in terms of your lower pricing brackets. If that means you want a, someone like a Rodri or a Rice, for example, stick them in people you're going to more forget about and dance around the premium ones. But as I alluded to earlier as well, there isn't that kind of, oh, this is where I'll flip from Salah to Palmer. That doesn't really exist this season, not in the first half of the season, really.
Listeners, obviously, jump in the comments on YouTube with your thoughts about this five transfer change and what you think it will see happen. Be interested to have a read through and see what your thoughts are. Of course, as the game launches, we'll be going into more detail. We'll have all of our drafts. Obviously, James got Correspondent Week in a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks coming up as well, to deep dive into every individual team. So you're going to want to stay subscribed wherever you're listening to the show. Hit the bell or the notification icon or the thumbs up or the heart or whatever it may be, depending on what podcast app you're using. And of course, subscribe. Follow James on Twitter at PlanetFPLPod for updates as well on the schedule. Other than that, though, stay safe and look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Don't fight each other for those IDs. Be nice to each other, everyone. Cue music, please. Man shop.
Fantasy Football Show.